Good afternoon. I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the 175th edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During the show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. My guest today is Max Sale, who was born and raised in Papua New Guinea. He comes from one of the most rural and culturally diverse countries in the world. Located north of Australia, PNG is coastal, tropical, and mountainous. The mountains reach up to 14,000 feet above sea level. Max left his homeland in 2013, attended Bible college in Ohio, and then wanted to pursue his education further. He currently is studying at Southern Maine Community College with an eye on a degree in electrical engineering. Max, I'm so glad to have you with me today. Welcome to New Mainers Speak.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us about your family and boyhood home on Papua New Guinea. What are some of the things that you miss when you think of your childhood in Mendi?
Oh, growing up in that rural place in Mendi, I didn't think I'll come here and explore the place and culture and things here, but I get a privilege to come over, and I'm glad I'm here. That seeing a lot of people, seeing a lot of good things, and I'm privileged to be here. But growing up in that place, you don't know where you will end up. You don't know life will take you where. But somehow I managed to come here, and there was a privilege that they gave me to go and study in Ohio. So that's where I came, and then I moved up to Maine.
So if I would have a picture of you as a boy standing out in front of your house, what would it look like?
You would see that traditional house, not, all traditional house. When you look up to Google, you will see how traditional house back in Papua New Guinea.
And what would that be, with sticks or logs? Or?
Yeah, it's basically logs, and we've got... there's a roofing known as a kunai roofing. So we normally build that house. And
is that with leaves?
Leaves.
Or thresh?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. And you will see, we normally call blind, but I don't know what that is. Well, we've got a traditional house. If you look up to Google, you will see the traditional house in Papua New Guinea. Yeah,
and are they round or square?
There's round and square and rectangle. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, different types. And some they build on the... on a post, they build it, and some on the ground. So you can look Google up and see that.
If you haven't ever Googled Papua New Guinea, I would highly recommend it. The most fantastically diverse nation in the world, maybe.
Yes. In Papua New Guinea, you don't see just only one culture. You've got thousands of cultures. And if I want to speak about Papua New Guinea, I can speak on behalf of where I come from, but I don't know much about Papua New Guinea, because every province have their own different cultures, their own different traditions, and every languages are so different. So I can't speak on behalf of Papua New Guinea, but I can speak on behalf of where I come from, because I grew up in that place.
I think that is true for anybody anywhere, but maybe even more dramatically so for you, because Papua New Guinea has 12% of all of the world's languages, all on that half of one island. And there's just such diversity of language and of cultures, totally diverse, distinctive languages and cultures. You know, you've got your ocean dwellers, as you were saying earlier, who just eat fish. Mm. You have your inland people who grow yams, and then they trade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so awesome about that part of the country. You know, back then they don't have money, so all they did was, they normally call barter system, it's a trade.
Barter.
People who have... yam, taro, and all those stuff, trade with fish. People who have salt, trade with whale, because some of those in the highlands, like the highlands province that I come from, Southern Highlands, those, that province produce oil. So the whale,
oil.
Mm-hmm. So they trade with the guys who have salt and shellkina. You know, those, before money, they've been trading out there. They've been trade things with things, goods with goods, and, you know, they satisfy themselves with that. And those cultures and traditions move on, and now, like, Western cultures and traditions get in, people change and live different way, like things started to change now.
Yeah, and so even when you were a boy, were there elementary schools that you went to, and are there secondary schools in the Southern Highlands where you grew up?
Yeah, of course. I went to, we normally call it pre-preschool. Preschool is like zero, you don't go to, and then after prep school, you go to grade one. You know? If you go to prep school, we've got like every, I think, few kilometers away from the school, like I live, and I normally walk towards that school. And you don't, you know, take home school is like, we live distance from school, but we normally walk, not like here, you've got car that pick you up and go to school, but it's a bit tough, but to get to that place, you have to walk, and sometimes we walk up early in the morning just to walk to the school. Yeah.
How long would you walk for?
Roughly 30 minutes or an
minutes.
Hour.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And once you got to school, were there rugby teams?
Oh, of course. There's rugby teams everywhere, but back then, they don't allow kids to play rugby because of the... people don't want the kids to involve in rugby, but now they let the kids to involve in rugby. But back then, now people said, my kid's gonna break their bones or whatever it is. So they don't let their kids involve in rugby. But when they grow older, they play rugby. You know? Rugby is one of those games that it's like we normally call national game. You know, everybody know what rugby is.
Yeah, more than soccer in Papua New Guinea.
Mm-hmm.
What are the other big sports in Papua?
Soccer and tennis, and yeah, some other games like running, whatever it is. There's a lot of sports, but rugby is the main big one that they play,
national sport. Yeah. So when we first met, you said the land you own is the mother that will feed you. And I imagine food is profoundly different here than it is in Papua New Guinea, where you grew up in the highlands. Will you tell us a little bit about mumu? What is it, and how do you prepare mumu?
Oh, of course, mumu is one of those exciting things that you want to see. You know, I can remember the first time I did mumu up here. People came around the Grace Baptist Church here. A couple of those guys, we invited them, and they go over to the Windham where I met at mumu, and they said, "Where's the mumu? Mumu is like something we normally you can cook." Any type of food, but except rice, you want mumu. But other than that, mumu is a little, but you can dig a hole in the ground, and then we make a fire, and then we bend the stone. When stone get heated, we normally move the stone out of the pit, and then put some a foil, put the food in it, wrap the stones with foil, then put them together. And you cover them with the ground, and then after a few minutes, 30 or 45 minutes, you open that thing up, and you will see all the food is already cooked.
This is a bit like a clam bake or a lobster bake in Maine. So what kinds of foods in Papua New Guinea would you be pulling out of the ground that have been cooked?
I can say pork, chicken, sweet potato, cabbage, whatever vegetables it is. Anything. We can just cook them in mumu.
Does mumu mean something?
I think mumu is in it's a traditional language. It just means to cover them all in the pit.
I see. Yeah. So feast from a pit.
Yeah,
mumu.
Feast from a pit. Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. I love that you're doing that for people here. Are there other people from Papua New Guinea here in Maine?
Yeah. I stayed with a guy who went to Pensacola Christian College, and he got hooked up with this girl from Maine, and they got married. They have four lovely girls, four lovely kids, and I stayed with them, and they called me uncle, and I'm proud to be their uncle, I normally stayed with them. And also there's the other guy who came here like back then, I don't know how many years ago, and he lived here. He lived in River Road, and he's got two girls and a boy. His firstborn daughter might be 26, I think, and he's been living here for a while. And yeah, those two guys are here. But other than that, there's other Papua New Guineans living around the state, in the United States, I mean, Indiana. I know a couple of them are living in Indiana, Florida, and Texas. And yeah,
just the corners.
Yeah, there's a lot of people living in here.
Yeah. Well, I love the fact that Papua New Guinea has more languages than any other country, with over 820 indigenous languages. It's kind of a dream come true for linguists, I think. Perhaps your country, more than most, it's impossible to speak about what the countrymen believe because there are so many diverse cultures speaking, which I said earlier. Can you tell us more about the range of people that are from Papua New Guinea? You were saying earlier, just describing some of the wide diversity of cultures on the island.
As I've said, Papua New Guinea have thousands of cultures. And as you have mentioned, it's 820 plus languages. You wouldn't believe it's like just 8 million, not over 8 million people, probably 7 million people, but we speak diverse languages. And those languages, you cannot understand one from the other. They're totally different from others. And it's, I couldn't believe that just few people and just like not over 10 million, you see, just only 8 million and we speak 800 languages. And when you divide it, that you will be like, oh, probably 200 people speak different language from 200, something like that.
Yes, and some languages are losing their speakers. There's no one else left to speak that language.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how about the people? You said some of the tallest people in the world and some of the shortest people in the world live on Papua New Guinea.
Yeah. For example, I go down to that Bible college down there with the other 6'6" guy from Papua New Guinea. And we went for a choir trips and people asking me, hey, people asking us, where are you from? And he said, he's from Papua New Guinea. And this guy is shorter than you. You are 6'6". And you know what? I got out and said, you didn't go to Papua New Guinea yet. There's tallest guys in Papua New Guinea and there's the shortest guys in Papua New Guinea, which is like 3 meters or 4 meters tall. The shortest guys in Papua New Guinea. And we've got diverse of people. Like when you go to Papua New Guinea, you will be like, some look alike. Different, like some like Asian, some look like really black, some look really brown, and some with blonde hair with blue eyes, and you'll be like, wow, this is from Papua New Guinea? Yeah, they're from Papua New Guinea.
Are they all albinos?
Yeah, or some are totally so different, and some are really tall, and some are really short. And Papua New Guinea, you will see a lot of different people. Some looks like Asian, and you'll be like, wow, so many different types of people live in Papua New Guinea, but we are all from Papua New Guinea. And there's some live down there in near Australia. We normally call them Alata. We normally describe them as size 28 because they are sort of people down there.
They're small. They're size 28.
And on the coastal side of Central, they are like Hawaiians or Tongans. Like they are like Pacific Island, and you'll be like, are they from Papua New Guinea too?
Are they broad-shouldered?
Yeah.
Like Samoans?
Yeah, like they are like Samoans, and they are like Hawaiians or something like that. So you will be like, wow. And when you go up to the highlands where I come from, you will see really tough guys out there. And
yeah, you're from tough country. You said if you meet up with somebody from the southern highlands, they'll be like, hey, you want to fight?
Yeah.
Are you a fighter, Max?
Yeah, no, but I mean, if somebody want to attack me, I get it. You defend myself using all the energy that I have.
Max, for the people that are only listening, looks a lot like Trevor Noah and always has a smile on his face. Pleasure to know. If you're just joining this conversation, welcome. You are listening to New Mainers Speak. I'm Kate Manahan, and my guest today is Max Saleh, who was born and raised in Oshinya in the southern highlands of Papua New Guinea. He attended high school in the capital city of Port Moresby before departing the island for the United States. So, Max, I'm curious what your culture shock might have looked like when you arrived in the United States and then later in Maine. What do we do here that you find somewhat surprising culturally?
I can describe the cultural shock as many, many, many things. A lot of things are so different from where I come from. Like young girls, young boys hanging out with young girls here is so different from where I come from. And also the food and everything. Culture is so different. But
would the boys and the girls not hang out?
Yeah, for us, it's totally so different, you know. It's there has to be certain distance in before it is getting married, you know. But here it's different, and that was the one of the thing that I figured out the first time I came, and a lot of things like food has been so different from me, you know.
What do you make of our supermarkets?
Oh, I like the supermarkets. On the supermarkets like Walmart and Hannaford and Sauce and whatever, where those supermarkets, I like them. But a couple of those things that the first time I bought the food out there, like especially the fruits, it doesn't taste like the real fruit that I normally eat, because we normally harvest from the garden, and when you go to Papua New Guinea, you won't go to the supermarket, but there's like all the farmers will come and sell it on the markets. You just buy fresh from the garden.
And the nutritional value is quite different too. Just one yam versus the other yam, one can be so rich in nutrients.
And it was like when there was a banana that I bought the first time I came, and an orange, and I was like, this is not orange, this is not banana, this is something different that I'm eating, you know.
I bet it's so delicious eating freshly grown from farmers you know.
Yeah, we normally pick from the garden, and we normally buy something straight from the garden, so that was very different. But now, like, living here for like 4 years or 4.5 years, things become like normal to me now, getting used to it.
Yeah. The weather too, I'm pretty sure you don't have any snow on Papua.
We don't have snow, we don't have fall, we don't have winter. It's like one part of it, I'm really excited that I got to see all four seasons. And snow is one of those things that I was always admiring when looking at the pictures and when looking at magazines. I was like, I wish one day I touch those things. And it's like a dream come true when I touch snow, and when I see fall, when I see winter, when I see every spring new flowers grow out of the tree. That's so exciting.
You're very adaptable. Yeah. I love that you love it. You are also a serious student. I wondered if you could tell us more about what you are studying at SMCC and what you're hoping to do with all that you learn.
Oh, that's you know, back then growing up, I really wanted to become an electrical engineer, though. But things changed, you know. Things changed when I grew up. Things changed, so I didn't make it through to the tertiary institution that I was trying to go. And then I got involved in the churches, and they sent me to that Bible college. And then from the Bible college, I said, wow, I got to do something out here. When I have the privilege, I have to do something. And I came out, and then I got to school out there. And now I'm studying electrical engineer and to become an electrical engineer. But if I become an electrical engineer and become who I want to be in the future, I want to go back to my village, to that little village that I come from. And I just want to make difference in those people's life. Just want to let them know that, hey, I'm here to help you guys. Whatever your need is, I might not help you guys in a lot of things, but just few things. I want to go back and help them and help the community and help serve those old people out there and even the younger ones who grow up and want to be somebody in the future. Just want to encourage them and go back and tell them, hey, I've been there. I didn't think I'll go to U.S. I didn't think I'll become an electrical engineer through a degree. But somehow I made it, and I went to U.S. and I got this degree. And you know what? You can do it. Just give them the courage and help them through and help the people out there in my village. That's what I want to do in my future.
That's beautiful. And is your village electrified now? Would that be new, bringing electricity to your town?
That's one of my goal, you know. Electricity is we've got town, but we live like 10-15 miles away from town, and where I come from, there's no electricity. So one of my goals is to bring electricity to my village, and that's my dream, that's my goal. So if it happens, it will happen, but if it doesn't, it does, and it won't.
I bet your teachers love you, because there's nothing quite like a student with a mission.
Yeah,
you know what you want to learn, so you can change the lives of the people you love.
Yeah,
I love that for you. I understand that in 2011, Papua New Guinea was the sixth fastest growing economy in the world, and that made me wonder what kinds of industries and exports your country is really known for.
We've got everything in the world that you name it. It's in our country. Like we've got crude oil, and we've got oil palm. We've got cocoa. We've got coffee. We've got copra, and we've got everything. But the higher management up there, the guys think about themselves. They don't think about the people. That's the thing that dragging that little country backwards. If you're talking about the oil, the gas, the gold, we produce everything in our country.
And it reminds me a lot of Democratic Republic of Congo in that same way. Both very rich countries, rich soil, all kinds of gems and copper and all kinds of things, even oil.
We've got,
yet if it doesn't make it down to the people, you live poor.
We've got a lot of, like, we've got copper mine, we've got gold mine, we've got oil mine, we've got the gas mine, we've got all the minings in the world are there. We've got, like, the cash crops, we've got coffee, cocoa, coconut, copra.
What's copra?
Yeah, copra is you get it out from the coconuts.
Oh.
You get copra out of the coconut.
I see.
We've got everything, but the management up there, the head of departments up there, they get all the money and they don't deliver the services. That's why people, it's not a big land mess, but people are so greedy of themselves. They think of themselves. That's why, like, services doesn't go through. But I just hope and pray that there's one day that somebody gonna stand up and do something.
I hope people
will see what's the benefit of what they have out there.
Yeah.
Because when you Google it up and see, you will see a lot of mines out there. Money, we don't know where money goes to, you know.
Sure. It's not just. It's not fair.
It's not fair.
Mm-mm. And interesting, because in tribal life, there really has to be sharing and thinking of everybody.
Mm.
But then in political life, not so much.
Yeah, political life, because people become greedy. They say that people are not satisfied with what you have. Like people who have millions already, they want to have another million and add another million tomorrow. You know, that's where, like, infinite wealth comes in. You know, people who have a heart for people, they don't care about the millions. They care about people. That's why they give back to people. So, I mean, I don't know why, but people like having a lot of money. Like me, if I have $100, that's much for me. I know that that's going to lead me for a week or two. So I'm satisfied with that, but I don't know why people, they want to have a lot more than what they have. You're going to leave everything and go. You don't know that, you know. You don't know how long you're going to live. And somebody going to enjoy that money. You got to give back to the people.
You value the relationships over the cash and the power.
Yeah.
So is there anything that you want everyone to know about Papua New Guinea? Maybe ideas that people have about it that are incorrect, or things that you just think, I bet people don't know this about my terrific country.
I mean, people out there who are listening, people who Google and see Papua New Guinea and they get negative thoughts about Papua New Guinea. I want to tell the people that there's all the country in the world have good and bad about it, but now, like, Papua New Guinea is one of the best places that people want to go and visit, like the tourism. Like going for chef. Surfing is one of the best place to go and surf. You go, you have a lot of big waves coming out there. And some of those cultures and traditions that you want to see, if you're a good explorer and if you want to become a tourist or whatever it is, Papua New Guinea is one of those places that you want to go and see. You will be like, oh, I thought I come to Papua New Guinea, but I discover world out here. And because of the cultures and traditions, you'll discover whole world. And you will see a lot of mountainous place. You will see a lot of good place, a lot of bad place, but you know, people are so friendly. When you go out there, they won't just treat you bad. Everybody's so friendly. If you hook up with someone and you want to go, or if somebody plans to travel out of the state and want to go somewhere and go, I recommend go to Papua New Guinea. Or if you want to go there and get some information, I'll be here and you can just come and get an information from me.
You're so kind.
And I'll be able to assist you and send you wherever you want
to
go.
I'd like to go to PNG, and I guess there's fabulous surfing for my husband and snorkeling for me.
Yeah.
Yes, I would love it. And a whole wonderful world of diversity. Yeah. So just for the record, since I have you here, now that you've traveled to around the world, I want you to tell me what the coolest is. Rugby, soccer, Aussie rules football, or American football? It's a total setup.
For games, I watch all the games. I play rugby, but I'm really impressed is basket, because I watch basket a lot. So that's why a lot of people watch basket. So.
Basketball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I can't wait long to go and watch my playoff games though.
Well, that's good. That is very good. Basketball is very popular. Max, you are such a delightful person. Clearly, you're highly adaptable and have such a generous heart and intentions. I wish you all the best on your continued life adventure.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me here. And I'm really proud that you gave me this opportunity to come and speak. And people who don't know Papua New Guinea, and they just Google and they know Papua New Guinea, but they don't know real Papua New Guineans. I'm glad you gave me this opportunity to talk to.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for being my guest today, and thank you for listening. I'm Kate Manahan, closing today's program with a song that Max has selected for us. Can you tell us why you chose this song to wrap things up, Max?
I chose that song because my sister, who brought me up, she liked that song, and whenever she's in the kitchen, she'll be like, "Hey, take me. Play that song, Take Me Home, John Denver." So that's her favorite song. So when I play that song, that's going to remind me of my sister. You know? So I like that song.
I really love that you chose this song. I wouldn't have guessed that you were listening to John Denver growing up just like I was. And it, as far away as Papua New Guinea is, here we are connected through music. So yeah. Once again, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Almost heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River. Life is old there, older than the trees, younger than the mountains, growing like a breeze. Country roads, take me home. Misty taste of moonshine, teardrop in my eye.